We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Do you like to laugh, geek out on music, and learn all about that band or artist who had that one song back in the day, but then seemed to fall off the face of the earth? If so, you need to subscribe to One Hit Thunder. Together with an array of interesting and hilarious guests, we do a weekly dive into one-hit wonders like Eiffel 65's Blue, Krayshawn's Gucci Gucci, EMF's Unbelievable, Delamitri's Roll to Me, Los Del Rio's Macarena, Musical Youth's Pass the Dutchie, and even Patrick Swayze's She's Like the Wind. So are you subscribed to One Hit Thunder or what? As Desiree would say, you gotta be. And as K7 would encourage, you gotta come baby come and join in on the fun of the One Hit Thunder podcast.
Joe, we are back in Newport Beach, and we are going on a journey. Some could say the journey, season 3, episode 17. Right out the gate, I got to address something that blew my mind. Is it weird to you that Journey is Ryan's favorite band? A 18-year-old in 2009 in Newport Beach?
No, because, well, first of all, is it 2009?
It's 2008, 2009. It's definitely...
Yeah, okay. So we're getting... This is also, like, Glee will premiere in 2007, 2008, right? So, like,
yeah.
Journey is on its come up.
Journey is having its
resurgence right now, you know?
Joe, you mentioned Glee, and it made me realize that you are someone I haven't asked about this.
Mm-hmm.
Dylan from Christmas 365 made me watch the Glee Christmas episode.
Which one?
The second season one, A Very Glee Christmas.
Oh, the one where they have A Very Merry Christmas. The one with...
No, this is the one where Jane Lynch becomes the Grinch.
Oh, yes, that one. Okay, that's a good one.
See, I hated it, as I did with most of Glee. I was never a Glee guy, right? Uh-huh.
You're not a Gleek.
I'm not a Gleek. But to the shock of absolutely nobody, Dylan is very much a Gleek. And he's pitched the idea that he wants to do a Glee rewatch podcast for Geekscape called Gleekscape. And I refuse to be a part of it. So we're looking for a Glee-loving co-host who would want to recap every episode of Glee with him. Would you be interested in that position once we wrap up this OC journey?
I could do that. I mean...
You don't sound thrilled about this, Joe.
No, because the better thing would be to make you watch it. That's the better show, is to have me and Dylan talk at you about why. Because, like, here's the thing.
Spoiler alert for that episode of Christmas 365. I literally say that Glee, for the entirety that show has been popular and in my zeitgeist, in my eyes, is like one rung above Big Bang Theory as like one of my most hated, like, do not like shows. And I think, similar to Big Bang Theory, they both have a similar vibe of everybody insisting I will love it.
This is you rebelling. This is your form of rebellion. It's like, yeah, how dare you think that this is my taste?
Yeah, kind of. Like, it just, I was like, I do not like this show at all. You do not have to do this. I feel like it was mean of me to just put you on the spot as we're recording about it. I will say that even Dylan, the Gleek that he is, told me the problem with Glee is that it's a solid 3-season show that's stretched out across 7 seasons. I'm not sure how you feel about that assessment, if you agree or disagree. And he's like, and I don't mean that the first three seasons are good. I just mean that the storylines and beats that they told over seven seasons could have been told much tighter in three seasons.
Yeah, this is a show that should not have gone. There was a natural endpoint, and they extended it. They extended it in a very weird way. Like, they tried their best to introduce new characters. They tried to do a Saved by the Bell, right? Where it was like, yeah, Saved by the Bell, new class. And it
they
didn't
had like a
work.
Reality show at one point, too. Yes. Like, the popularity of Glee was outrageous at the time. All right. Well, that's the OC is not Glee, thankfully, because I wouldn't be doing the show if it was. But yes, I think you're correct. Like, I didn't even factor that in, that Glee at this point made it really, really cool to like journey again with their Don't Stop Believin' yeah. cover. Now, this episode, we've watched some episodes that I flat out hate it, that I had like nothing but negative things to say about this episode, about the episode. The most negative thing that I can say about this episode is mm-hmm. that it's a giant nothing burger of an episode. Like, I feel like absolutely nothing of real plot point or value happens throughout the episode.
No.
Now, tell me, do you disagree? Are you like, or are you crazy? You're missing this important plot beat where we find out that, like, Summer's dad was going to try to repropose to her old stepmother. That's crucial. Like, what?
No, this whole episode is nothing. Like, it feels like they had... Like, it's just a ton of exposition that doesn't really need to go anywhere. And you know it's a bad episode because they do, like, a really intense callback.
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't... A really intense callback that ends with, like, Marissa getting overwhelmed and passing out, which, like, relatable. But at the same time, it was unnecessary. Like, we don't need to... Like, the only... sincerely, the only good thing about... well, no, there are two good things that are about this episode that actually have anything to do with like the plot and setting up the future. The first is we established that Ryan is now 18.
Yes.
So like the very basics of like, you know, Ryan being 18, like it does change the dynamic of him being like the adopted son, right? Like now yeah. he can be tried as an adult. That's all of those things are there. The second thing that it does is that it humanizes Volchak in a way, like it puts into perspective, like what they're setting up for Volchak coming up in the next few episodes.
So let me ask a potential spoiler question here.
Sure.
But I can't get a read on Volchak. And what I mean by that is I can't tell if I'm supposed to take the things that he says at face value as how he truly feels, or if it is all mind games to like low-key get revenge on Ryan for embarrassing him at the beach all those months ago. Now, am I just at this point where I'm so like unsure what's happening plot-wise that I'm making this more complicated than it needs to be? Or do you feel like that is the intention of the writing is for you to not fully trust Volchak every time that he shows up on screen?
I think that the writers want you to not trust him, but they are being fair to okay. the character as a person. So like, you know, the whole thing where he talks about like, you know, Johnny was the one who was better than me. And now he's just gone. Right. Like yeah. that's relatable. That makes sense. Also Cam Gigandet, or however you pronounce his fucking last name, hot guy, a hot early aughts guy, is actually a very capable actor.
Yes, which is rare on this show sometimes.
Yeah, not only is it rare on the show, but like they hired him, like you can tell that they hired him because he looks really good as a brooding hot guy. And yeah. then you realize that he actually, you know, does have some range as an actor. So I feel like maybe they shoehorned this in so that way they could give him a little bit more room to play. But it does. But in the context of the world and the diegesis, you know, to use my college word, in the diegesis of the world, it makes sense that like he and Marissa have found each other because they're both broken toys. Right.
Yes.
Like they're both.
No, that makes sense.
They both have the demons that they're looking for. I mean, if that's not the metaphor you hit over the head at the end where they're fucking drinking silently by a flask in the lifeguard house. There's nothing there, but
no one is manning that lifeguard house. There's just lonely teens drinking at that place 24/7. Let me read to you my favorite note that I've written in a really long time.
Sure.
Because you mentioned it. I wrote, man, this model home fire flashback scene is so dumb. And then was followed by, was really hoping that Marissa died from falling down the steps. like it was just, because it's like every episode I watch, I'm like, is this the one Marissa dies? And I was like, how anticlimactic if she, after all this buildup of how are they going to kill Marissa Cooper? She just has a flashback to the model home fire and falls down the steps to her death.
Before, like, with still, like, more than half the season, like, a little more than half the season left to go, right? What if I just fucked with you the whole time and was like, actually, she died this way? Are you like a soap opera if you don't have a dramatic falling down the stairs moment, right? Like, that's what that was giving. It's too over the top, and it doesn't, and that part, it really doesn't make sense. Like, it feels to me like that was the moment where they jumped the shark.
There's so many options, Joe. Yeah.
But it's also like, we're three seasons in and already we are like, already we're doing these really intense callbacks. Like, this is something you do toward in your later season, you know, like, and for it to have done nothing, right? Like the perfect ending to this would have been
provided not a thing to the story.
Yeah, she would have had this really intense feeling and shown up at Ryan's birthday party and been like, I miss you, like, la 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 la. And like that, and I've watched the show several times.
Yeah.
So for me, I was surprised when it didn't end that way.
Well, again, and that's where I repeat, like, it's kind of a nothing burger episode.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, really, no noteworthy anything happens this entire episode beyond, like, the promise that something might happen. Mm-hmm. Like the episode is constantly threatening to almost be interesting. Yeah. is the problem with it. Again, like I said, didn't hate it. Like, I didn't walk away from this being like, what a pile of garbage. Mm-hmm. But I was just like, that's it. Like, that's what this whole episode is. So the two main things in this episode are Ryan's 18th birthday party and Summer coming to terms with the fact that her dad and Julie Cooper are dating. Mm-hmm. Now, it's, I guess, very heavily implied that he's going to propose to her on this cruise where he was originally going to try to re-propose the stepmom. Part of me really curious how this is going to play out. Other part of me doesn't really care.
Yeah. Why do we care about this guy? Why do we care, right?
Exactly. Because at the end of the day, it's almost like the end of the Netflix run of Gilmore Girls, right? Mm-hmm. Older people get engaged too quickly all the goddamn time.
Sure.
Like, it's not that crazy. Now, if this was like Marissa and Volchek getting engaged, like, that's interesting. That's like a oh wow, this is that they're really speeding up this teenage relationship for no explainable reason. Or Ryan and Sadie, you know what I mean? Like, if one of our teens suddenly gets engaged, that's, you know, oh no, what are they thinking?
Yeah,
like, these people are almost 50. Mm-hmm. Like, if they want to just be like, hey, I'm gonna be dead sooner than I'm gonna be alive, I'm closer to death than birth at this point in my life. Let's just do this because, you know, the clock's ticking on both of us.
Yeah.
Then, like, whatever, who the fuck cares?
It's also like you mentioned the 18 thing, and this might derail it a little bit, but like, there, the moment for me when like Ryan looks the oldest that he's ever looked to me is when Seth is like, you're turning 18.
Yeah.
Like, it's the moment where they reveal that he is, it's his 18th birthday.
Yeah. No, it's crazy. Now Sandy is trying to get Ryan's mom to show up to this party, and I laughed so hard because he's packing a bag And he's like, I found Ryan's mom. She's in New Mexico. She's in Albuquerque.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, why are you
making meth with Walter White?
Yeah. She goes, why are you packing a bag? And he goes, well, I think she might be in some trouble. Cut to her in prison. Like, why do you think she might be in trouble? The woman's in jail, Sandy. Like, she's obviously not doing great.
It's like, girl, you're a lawyer, you know.
Yeah. But of course, let me ask this question. Is this a series wrap on Dawn? Is Dawn's 18th birthday envelope the end of this character?
I sincerely do not know. Like, I honestly don't know. I feel like I want to say yes, but I want to say yes because there's other things that are coming up with Ryan's family, like in next season, that are really interesting.
Oh man, is Trey coming back? He's like,
I
heard Marissa.
I hear
Marissa's dead. I'm gonna come and hang out now.
Yeah,
I don't fear for my life as much.
Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna go to her grave and tell her, show her.
Yeah, I'm gonna pee on her grave and walk away. So Ryan's 18th birthday gets a couple big laughs out of me, though. First of all, I love the shitty Photoshop of Seth creating all of the different potentials for Ryan's future, like him just on a fireman's body and a police. Mm-hmm. Like, that was like, okay, this is funny. It's cute. It's charming. It's like, this is the humor I want from the OC, mm-hmm. and they have it. And also the double-edged bit of Seth introducing the band and saying they're here to play some songs from Ryan's favorite band. And then they start playing Waiting for a Girl Like You. And he talks to Ryan about, like, yeah, man, Journey cover band. It's great. And then he walks away and Sadie and Ryan have a conversation about how this is a Foreigner song. And he's like, yeah, but, you know, like, I'm not going to correct Seth or whatever. And then it cuts to Summer and Seth, and Summer's like, you realize this isn't a Journey song. He goes, yeah, it's Foreigner. They're way better. Like I like that, like, both of them are not, like, it. I like that little bit of deceitfulness, even though Seth is out of his fucking mind if he thinks that Foreigner is a better band than Journey.
Yeah.
As a person who has no real stake in classic rock battles, like, that's just completely inaccurate and wrong. In every way.
Yeah, for sure.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Do you like to laugh, geek out on music, and learn all about that band or artist who had that one song back in the day, but then seemed to fall off the face of the earth? If so, you need to subscribe to One Hit Thunder. Together with an array of interesting and hilarious guests, we do a weekly dive into one-hit wonders like Eiffel 65's Blue, Krayshawn's Gucci Gucci, EMF's Unbelievable, Delamitri's Roll to Me, Los Del Rio's Macarena, Musical Youth's Pass the Dutchie, and even Patrick Swayze's She's Like the Wind. So are you subscribed to One Hit Thunder or what? As Desiree would say, you gotta be. And as K7 would encourage, you gotta come, baby, come and join in on the fun of the One Hit Thunder podcast. Do you like to laugh, geek out on music, and learn all about that band or artist who had that one song back in the day, but then seemed to fall off the face of the earth? If so, you need to subscribe to One Hit Thunder. Together with an array of interesting and hilarious guests, we do a weekly dive into one-hit wonders like Eiffel 65's Blue, Krayshawn's Gucci Gucci, EMF's Unbelievable, Delamitri's Roll to Me, Los Del Rio's Macarena, Musical Youth's Pass the Dutchie, and even Patrick Swayze's She's Like the Wind. So are you subscribed to One Hit Thunder or what? As Desiree would say, you gotta be. And as K7 would encourage, you gotta come, baby, come and join in on the fun of the One Hit Thunder podcast.
While we're talking about music, Joe, the few songs that do show up in this episode, let's rank them here. Or let's not rank them. That would be mm-hmm. insane. Let's just talk about what the best one is. So we've got South with Paint the Silence, mm-hmm. part of Marissa's mobile home or model home mix. Crash My Model Car in Dreams plays in the background while Ryan's walking around his party. And then it looks like this band's name is Cobra Verde, covering Foreigner's Waiting for a Girl Like You. I just went with that cover, but I'm curious if you actually went with the song from the CD mix.
If that's the song that plays during the like flashback, yep. then that's totally the song that I picked as the song of the episode.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
It was the best use of music in the episode.
It's probably the best use of music in this season, honestly. This season's yeah. been... After season two, where we got so many bait shop episodes, where it'd just be like, here's yeah. a band playing like four of their new hits. Like, it's been... They must have... The viewership must have been really dipping because the music budget seems to have almost vanished on yeah. this show when it comes to like noteworthy bands. Joe... Pop culture, man. People love the OC at the time. It was the talk of the town. Every time you watch Best Week Ever, they were keeping us up to date on what was happening on the OC. That's yeah. how big of pop culture it was.
It was like the OC, early RuPaul's Drag Race, and like The Bachelor.
Exactly. So the question is, what current day pop culture or even past pop culture do you want to shine a little light on and say, yo, check this out. It's pretty great.
Yeah, so I want to talk about an HBO show that I've been watching.
Okay.
I was doing a pet sit for some friends a couple weeks ago, and one of my favorite things to do, especially if you're doing like a longer pet sit, is to start a show.
Yes, cut you off. Yeah. I do this all the time. Is I either while I'm doing a pet or house sit, I pick one TV show that I plan to finish while I'm mm-hmm. there. But I also, because I watch so many TV shows normally, I also am like, this is the time to just knock out, like, look at what streaming apps they have and find out what movies are on those streaming apps that I haven't watched yet. And just yeah. like movie marathon through films I've never seen before.
Exactly. Because especially yeah. like when you're, you know, it's an incentive for you to like stay and hang with the dogs and yeah. all those things. So they were gone for about a week. And I and the thing is that all the streaming apps they have, I have, like, I probably have one or two more than they do, but
I'm throwing some shade. throwing some shade at your friend's cheap asses not being able to afford all of the streaming apps that Joe has.
To be fair, these are friends that I've like the first friends that I ever watched their pets for were these friends, and yeah. they're like, I watched one of their dogs when he was like a puppy, and when they got him, he was 8 months old, and then now he's like the old man of their little menagerie, right? Like, so we've been through a journey, but this is also the friend that like introduced me to, like, I got an Apple TV because this guy had an Apple TV and I thought it was really cool. He had all the different apps. Like, you know, I've definitely modeled my media diet, how media is consumed based off of these friends. Anyway, that's all of that to say, I started watching a show there that I've continued. Like, it's a new HBO series. It's a week to week, so it's not a binger. It's called The Girls on the Bus.
I haven't even heard of this. Okay, yeah, continue.
I honestly don't think it's getting enough. I think it's going to be one of those like HBO shows that maybe will go for two more seasons and that'll be it, or it could also be a miniseries. But The Girl on the Bus, it stars like Melissa Benoist from Glee, famously oh. from Glee and also from Supergirl.
Already losing interest.
Yes. There's no singing in it.
Hold up, Jose. I love that you think the reason I don't like Glee is because of the singing. Like, I'm not this musical loving motherfucker over here.
Yes, but here's the thing. I like the singing to me is a little much. Like, it's highly auto-tuned.
What bothers me is that it doesn't feel like human beings singing ever in an yeah. episode of Glee. All right, continue. Sorry. I just was like, how dare you? Don't you act like I'm the typical straight guy who hates a musical.
You're like, I am not the typical straight guy.
Yeah. I've spent years trying to prove that.
Yes. I am beating the typical straight guy allegations, as the Gen Z says. it's Carla Gugino, it's Melissa Benoist, it's like two other people. I have no idea what they're from, but basically it is about it takes place during a presidential primary campaign, and it's about four femme identified journalists. I don't know how one of the you'll understand what I talk about in a minute, but four like women journalists who are working for different news outlets, who are on the bus covering this very interesting presidential campaign. Specifically, they're on the bus for the Democratic for the people who are pursuing the Democratic nominee for president. And it's really cool because, like, it's filling a little bit of the hole that, like, Scandal and The Newsroom have in my heart. Like, The Newsroom was great because it, like, you know, you were able to wax philosophical about what it means, you know, to, like, America and print journalism and all that. And then you have, like, Scandal because there's, like, you know, intrigue and, you know, there's a mystery that's a season-long mystery that they're trying to solve. But it's really cool. There's, like, two people from... Two of the journalists, Carla Gugino and Melissa Benoist, they're like colleagues. They work at like major daily newspapers. One of them is a black woman who works for like the equivalent of like a One America News. Like it's a very like it's worse than Fox News. Like very
okay. So like a Newsmaxy type deal.
A Newsmaxy type deal, but like that has like that's very organized and has their own network.
Okay.
And then you have one girl who is like Gen Alpha, like only does her like is very bright and intelligent and very prepared, but is like doing TikToks and Instagram and SponCon to like help her to like, you know, help pay her way through. But like they underestimate her often. And it's really cool to and she's also like the one who's just like the most liberal, but they make fun of her for being like this very liberal progressive person. So it's really cool to see all of those politics play out, but also like general hijinks and, you know, election intrigue and stuff. It's really, really great.
Nice. That's awesome. My pop culture pick actually weirdly ties into this episode and I didn't realize it until just the second. But I'm going to talk about the music documentary that dropped on Netflix maybe 2 months ago, The Greatest Night in Pop, about the recording of We Are the World featuring Steve Perry of Journey. So there we go. That's how these two are connected. Have you watched this documentary yet?
I've not, but I came home one day and I saw my dad was watching it and he really liked it.
It's a really, like, let me start with this. We Are the World is a really bad song. Like it is not, it's not an interesting song lyrically. I've said multiple times that I think Band-Aid's Do They Know It's Christmas is a far superior song overall. Mm-hmm. But the star power that they got for We Are the World is impressive. And to like learn how this entire recording session took place over approximately 8 to 10 hours after a major award show when everyone was exhausted. It's really interesting. My biggest note is if I was in charge, which I'm not for, I guess, obvious reasons in life, but if I was in charge, I wouldn't have done any talking heads. As interesting as they were, like, I would have almost done this in the style of Get Back, like the Beatles Get Back, where you're just watching this footage. You're just watching the chaos of them trying to record this because I feel like the footage speaks for itself for the most part.
Sure.
So like you'll literally get like a talking head, like it's just one of those things where you'll get a talking head talking about like, oh man. And then like Stevie and Ray Charles, like they were sitting by the piano playing a song together. And then it just cuts to the footage of Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles sitting at the piano playing a song together. I'm just like, I didn't really need that talking head to tell me about the footage I was just about to watch. Like the footage kind of speaks for itself. You don't need to tell me that this is a cool thing I'm witnessing. Like I recognize who these people are and I think, damn, that's cool. So that would be my only note, but yeah, it's a breezy, like 89 minutes or something like that. It's a quick watch. It's an interesting watch. It still won't make you like the song anymore if you don't like the song, but it is like, it is what it, and look, they did a lot of good. They raised a lot of money and helped a lot of things, but it's just a poorly written song. I don't think it's a very good song, but that's my whole thing. Speaking of things that aren't, that I think might be poorly written, The OC, we'll be back next week with another episode of White People Problems, an OC podcast.
Do you like to laugh, geek out on music, and learn all about that band or artist who had that one song back in the day, but then seemed to fall off the face of the earth? If so, you need to subscribe to One Hit Thunder. Together with an array of interesting and hilarious guests, we do a weekly dive into one-hit wonders like Eiffel 65's Blue, Krayshawn's Gucci Gucci, EMF's Unbelievable, Delamitri's Roll to Me, Los Del Rio's Macarena, Musical Youth's Pass the Dutchie, and even Patrick Swayze's She's Like the Wind. So are you subscribed to One Hit Thunder or what? As Desiree would say, you gotta be. And as K7 would encourage, you gotta come baby come and join in on the fun of the One Hit Thunder podcast. Come baby come, baby baby come, come. Come baby come,
baby baby come. You're listening to the Geekscape Network.